Today is lesson two, and it's entitled The Great Apostasy. There were two things that Paul mentioned that would precede the day of the Lord. Number one, he said there would be a great falling away. And number two, he said there would be a revealing of the man of sin or the lawless one. The great falling away is in the Greek language, the word apostasia. In the first century world, the word apostasia, from which we get the English word apostasy, it was a technical term for political revolt or defection. That was the usage of the word in the first century. Now, I think all of us would agree that people have been falling away from the faith for centuries. But Paul, in this context, seems to refer to a climatic rebellion, a particular event that would take place and that it would result in the revealing of the Antichrist, who is here called the man of sin or the lawless one. So that just kind of gives you a little brief setting of the context of this teaching today. So I want to share the verses with you. It's on your outline, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. So Paul says, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to him. How many of you know that's good news that one day we are going to be gathered to the Lord, to be with Jesus, to be in his presence forever and ever and ever. I can't wait. I mean, that's the hope of the believer. That is the expectation of every born-again child of God. So Paul is reminding the church body about that. He says, concerning his coming and our being gathered to him. He says, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by the teaching allegedly from us. See, they thought that this was what Paul believed, but he had to set the record straight. So he says, don't be easily unsettled alarmed by the teaching that is allegedly from us, whether by prophecy or by word of mouth or by letter, asserting that the day of the Lord has already come. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction. So no doubt the Antichrist is coming. No doubt there is going to be a mass rebellion. So we're going to talk about that today because we are already, I believe, in the midst of it. So we're going to talk about a departure from truth because that's what apostasy means. There is going to be a departure from truth. Now, there is a departure from truth on two levels. There is a departure from truth on a national level, or we could say a cultural or societal level. How many of you know we're seeing that in America today? There's a departure from the truth of God's word. People are turning away from the truth of God's word, turning away from the gospel, rejecting the gospel. All right, so that's one level. And then the second level is that there is a personal, individual departure from truth. And as a pastor, you know, I've been pastoring for quite a few years now, and I could tell you that I have seen people, I could give you a list of people's names, people that I've known personally, people that I've pastored and shepherded, that were one time on fire for God, living for Jesus Christ, sold out for God, and all of a sudden, something changed them, something happened, somebody influenced them, their worldview changed, their belief system changed, and no longer served God, and many have even denied the faith and denied the person of Christ. Well, it shouldn't surprise us because that's exactly what the Word of God said would happen. There would be a departure from truth. So I believe we are seeing it on those two levels. I believe we are seeing it on a national level in the United States of America. I believe that we are seeing it on individual levels, that there are people who are denying the faith, turning away from God, rejecting the Bible. The Bible is the authoritative word of God. Can I get an amen? Never lose sight of that. It is the authoritative word of God. People that don't believe it will call it a Bible or a book written by men. They will deny the authority of the scripture. But never lose sight of it, my friends, that the Bible is the word. It is the authoritative word of God. All right, so when we talk about a departure from truth, we are talking about a departure from the word of God. All right, now how many of you know that God is truth? And when we think of truth, or if we want to be connected to truth, or if we want to understand truth, then we have to have a revelation of the person of God. Because God is a God of truth. Truth comes from God. All right, so God the Father sent his Son as a revelation of the very person, character, and nature of God. So that's why Jesus said in John 14:6, he said, one of the great I am sayings of Christ, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father unless he comes through me. So right there, he said, if you want truth, he said, then get connected to me. He said, because I'm truth. I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. All right, so, you know, any other way is false. Any other way is deception. You know, God did all that he could do when he sent his only begotten Son to reveal his very person. And he revealed truth. All right, so that's why the gospel is truth. It's like a cliche. People will refer to it, make a reference to it. Gospel truth. You know, Jesus represents gospel truth. In John 8:32, when he said, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Amen? It's knowing the truth. All right, because truth is in God. All right, so if there is a departure from truth, the reason why there is a departure from truth is because there is a rejection of God. Are y'all with me? All right, because truth is in God, right? So if society progresses, but it progresses without God, then it's not progressing in truth, it's progressing in a lie. Are y'all still with me? All right, so we're going to see how that's so in the Word of God. All right, so let me just, time gets away so quick, and I have a lot of things to cover, and I'm just going to hit these things rapid fire. All right, first of all, number one, before the second coming of Christ, the Scripture says that there will be a rejection of the truth of the gospel, and we are seeing that. All right, Paul said in Romans chapter 1, Paul said that men will suppress the truth. When you reject truth, you suppress truth. The word suppress, it means to hold it down, to restrain it, or to hinder it. All right, so if someone rejects truth, then they are suppressing truth. And the Bible says the wrath of God is going to be revealed against those who suppress it, because they rejected it. All right, so salvation is for those who receive it, and they become born again child of God, and they reap all the benefits of salvation. All right, so Scripture is clear before the second coming that there will be a rejection, departure from the truth, rejection of the gospel. All right, number two. I want to zero in on this word rebellion. It's a very important word. The Greek word that is translated as rebellion is apostasia, as I already said, from which we get the English word apostasy. All right, so when you think of the word apostasy, you have to connect that to the word rebellion, because that's really what it means. And that's why in the NIV Bible, it says that the rebellion will occur in verse 3, that there will be a rebellion that will occur. Or we could substitute, if we wanted to stay with the title, the great apostasy, we could substitute the English word apostasy. The great apostasy will occur. So the two words are used interchangeably. All right, so this word rebellion is a very important word because it really defines the condition of all of humanity. The word rebellion is defined in the Greek language as a defection, a revolt, an apostasy. It means to deviate from the right path, to turn aside, to wander aimlessly. It means to abandon the worship of God. That is what rebellion really means. Now, the scripture teaches us that rebellion is rooted in the heart of a child. So even when we are born into this world, even David said that I was born into iniquity. I was born into it. What he means is that I came into this world with an inward condition, with an inward problem. And that problem is a problem of rebellion. That all of humanity is born into this world in rebellion against God. We can't help it. It's our condition. We're born that way. You know, of course, I know one of the big social controversies today, you know, is over gay lifestyles, you know, and of course, the argument is that that people are born, you know, with that issue. Well, can I tell you this? We're all born into this world crazy. And we all need to be born again. Whether somebody struggles with homosexuality or fornication, you know, or pedophilia or lying, or Jesus told us all the things that proceed out of the evil heart of men, and he said those things defile the man. You know, and the reason why we have all of those issues, you know, is because rebellion is on the inside. All right, so it's very important that we understand that because rebellion is a big deal. See, this is why children, little children, they pitch conniption fits if they don't get their way, right? Because they're in rebellion. You know, you don't have to. I say this all the time. You don't have to teach a child to lie. They're going to lie by their nature. You know, they're going to manipulate by their nature. Because rebellion is born on the inside. You know, we all have that problem. You know, rebellion, a defection, a revolt, to deviate from the right path, to turn aside, wander aimlessly. That's what rebellion is. Rebellion is on the inside of every person. People today are in rebellion against God. They are in rebellion against the gospel. All right, now stick with me on this. Because, man, listen, I can tell you, I live there. God was not on my radar. You know, I wasn't worried about God, wasn't looking for God. I wanted to do my thing, you know, because rebellion was on the inside of me. You know, and what has to happen, the Holy Spirit has to break that down. The Holy Spirit begins to work on the inside of a person. Even before someone can come to Jesus Christ, there has to be an inward work that takes place by the Holy Spirit. So you see, salvation, we choose it, but in actuality, God initiates it. Because left to ourselves, the rebellion could never be dealt with. Are y'all with me? Now, I'm giving you some theological stuff here today and some food for thought. You know, but before anybody can come to Christ, that's why Jesus said it. He said, no one can come to me unless the Father draws him to me. So the Father has to do a work. So he has to show us, first of all, he shows us our condition. See, most people today think that, you know, they know they might not be perfect, and but everybody thinks they're going to be all right. You know, God's going to accept me into heaven. And they don't realize that they have to have a basis. You can't just say God's going to accept me into heaven, you know, just because, you know, I didn't kill anybody. Well, did you ever steal? Yeah, well, probably so. Did you ever lie? Oh, absolutely. Well, then you've broken the law of God. Because Jesus said that if you have broken one point, you're guilty of all of it. That's what he said. You know, if you broke one, you're guilty of all of it. You know, so everybody has broken the law of God, amen, because of rebellion. And that's why salvation is so awesome. That's why what Jesus did for us on the cross is so incredible. Amen. Because he dealt with the rebellion. And he nailed the rebellion to the cross. All right. But all of humanity, my friends, is in this defection. They are in this revolt. And there's going to be a climatic ending to it. There's going to be an ultimate rebellion where the man of sin is revealed. Let me move on. Number three, apostasy is a deliberate abandonment from a formally held position. It is a change of one's previously held belief system rooted in Scripture to a denial of God's Word. We had a family, a military family, that was members of our church years ago, and they got new orders and were transplanted to state of Washington, the top corner of the nation. And had a little difficulty, you know, finding a church. They were trying to find West Point, but you know, but West Point isn't there. West Point's in Louisiana, and because they were so connected here, you know, and they serve faithfully, and so they had a little problem finding a church. So they had settled on a church that they liked, and thought that you know, they had good kids ministry and everything, you know, they were going to join membership. All right. So then on Easter Sunday service, the pastor begins to cast doubt about his belief of the resurrection to the Easter Sunday congregation. It illustrates what Paul's saying, you know, that there would be a rebellion. All right, so you know, there are so many ministers. Think of what this definition says, number three, a deliberate abandonment from a formally held position. There are so many ministers who have rejected the authority of Scripture, who one time believed it, believed strongly, rejected the authority of Scripture, denied the deity of Jesus Christ, denied the virgin birth. These are fundamentals, fundamentals of the faith, denied these things, and became atheists in their belief system. My friends, that's exactly what apostasy is. See, it is an abandonment from a formally held position. It's a change of one's previously held belief system to a denial of God's Word. Now, I want to show you this passage in Hebrews 3, because this should really, man, this should really challenge us to our core, because it illustrates exactly what I'm talking about. And notice what it says. It says, take care, brothers and sisters. Now, notice it doesn't say, take care, people of the world. Are y'all still with me? All right, so it's addressing believers, is it not? Because only believers are brothers and sisters. If you go to the original King James Bible, it uses the word brethren. All right, so it says, take care, brothers and sisters, that there not be in any one of you a wicked, unbelieving heart which refuses to trust and rely on the Lord, a heart that turns away from the living God. But continually encourage one another every day, as long as it is called today, in other words, as long as there is opportunity, so that none of you will be hardened into settled rebellion. I believe that defines apostasy right there. Settled rebellion. In other words, you are just sitting in it. By the deceitfulness of sin, its cleverness, delusive glamour, and sophistication. For we, believers, have become partakers of Christ, sharing in all that the Messiah has for us, if only we hold firm our newborn confidence, which originally led us to him until the end. So we have to hold our confidence steadfast until the end. That's not easy. It's not easy because we have all kind of things that are seducing us, all kind of things that are trying to change our belief system. Very important that we see this. And this is a challenge, my friend, to believers. I love this quote from a great Christian leader. He wrote many books. And he said, I am not suspicious of anyone's heart more so than I am suspicious of my own. And that reminds me of what Jesus said in the Gospels. When he said, why do you try to get the beam or to get the mote out of your brother's eye and you can't even see the beam that is in your own eye? That challenges me to my core. And it challenges me to this realization that I must continuously take inventory of my life. I must continuously analyze the condition of my own heart. Is there anything leading me away? Is there anything seducing me? Is there anything that is appealing to the inward corruption that is on the inside? See, that's why Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 29:11, for the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Jesus talked about it. For from within the heart of men proceed evil thoughts. And then he went in and gave us a whole long list of various things. You know, so we must always be suspicious of ourselves. You know, and this verse is really teaching us that that if it happened to someone else, it can happen to me. If someone else apostatized, I can apostatize. If someone else turned away from Jesus, I can turn away from Jesus. If someone else went down into disgrace and sin, I can go down into disgrace and sin. That's why Paul said, for him who thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. So we have to always take inventory. Where is my relationship with the Lord? How strong is my faith? You know, is there anything that is influencing me? Is there anything that is influencing my belief system, seducing my mind? See, because we're talking about a departure from truth. All right, let me move on. Here's number four. See, Paul warned Timothy about these very things. He said, in the last days, some will depart from the faith of the gospel. Notice what he says, 1 Timothy 4. He says, but the Holy Spirit explicitly and unmistakably declares. In other words, he speaks as strongly as he can speak. And if he's speaking that strongly, y'all remember the insurance commercial? When E.F. Hutton speaks, I listen. Some of y'all might not even remember that commercial, but it was an insurance commercial years ago. And when the Holy Spirit speaks, I listen. And he speaks through his word. Amen? He speaks through the word of God. All right, so the Holy Spirit explicitly and unmistakably declares that in the latter times, some will depart away. They will turn away from the faith, paying attention instead to deceitful, seductive spirits and doctrines of demons, misled by the hypocrisy of liars whose consciences are seared as with a branding iron, leaving them incapable of ethical functioning. I believe that so describes our society today. They cannot discern ethical things, what's right and what's wrong. And he says right here that they would be incapable of ethical functioning. Remember, why does that happen? Because when people turn away from God and they turn away from the truth of the gospel, then this is the result. See, because truth is in God. Amen? So if I don't have God in my life, I don't have truth. You know, so we live in a culture that really is living a lie. It's based upon a lie. And it's full of seductive spirits and doctrines of demons. And it is incapable of ethical functioning. I mean, we have, you know, so many hotbed societal issues now. You know, this late-term abortion issue. I mean that, you know, that there are politicians and there are people that believe that you can bring a baby to full term and that you can dismember that child out of his or her mother's womb part by part. I mean, and people can't see the evil and the wickedness of that. But my friends, that's where we are. That's where we are. You know, and this explains it. I mean, here's the explanation. The conscience is seared with a hot iron. You know, that's symbolism that he's talking about. You know, that an iron, you know, when it sears something, it makes it numb. So people's consciences are numb, incapable of ethical functioning because there is a departure from the faith. This word depart is an interesting word. It means to become unraveled, has woven threads, to break apart, to depart from life. You know, it's like a rope. And, you know, a rope is many threads, right? Many little small strains, and then it's intertwined. All right, so the analogy here is to depart from the faith, to depart from truth, is to become unraveled, just like a rope becoming unraveled. And that's what's happening to people's lives today. They are unraveled. The good news is Jesus came to ravel us back. Hallelujah. He came to make us whole. Amen? To make us whole. To heal us and to put our lives back together. Because that's the analogy. To become unraveled. To break apart. That's why people's lives are so broken. And my friends, that's why we got to preach the gospel. Amen? That's why we got to preach the word of God. Because people need the life that only the gospel can impart. Hallelujah. Let me move on. Here's number five. See, when there is a departure from the word of God, it results in giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. The word seduce, it means to draw aside or entice from the path of rectitude and duty in any manner by flattery, promises, bribes, or otherwise, to tempt and lead to iniquity, to corrupt or to deprave. We must never lose sight that when there is a departure from the truth of God's word, there is, in the realm of the spirit world, there is an influence that is formulating people's belief systems, formulating their worldview, formulating their philosophy. So that's why it is so vitally important that we stay in the word of God, connected to the word of God, the authority of the scripture. We must stay in the authority of God's word because we are living in an age of apostasy. There has never been a stronger atheistic movement in America than there is right now. Never. I was just reading an article about this case that went to the Supreme Court of this World War I cross memorial that, you know, these atheistic groups, you know, and everything's going through the courts now. And, you know, they're using all the legal avenues to advance their agenda. And, you know, they want to totally secularize society and just remove God out of everything. You know, well, how many of you know America's been going to hell in a handbasket since the day they took prayer out of school? Take prayer out of school, then what's the result? They shoot up the schools. I mean, that's just the truth, right? See, because when you take the word of God off of the consciences of young people, then remember those spirit world demon forces begin to infiltrate the mind. See, people that don't know God don't understand this. You know, they don't have insight into these things. You know, but those who are born again, we understand how it works. At one time, I didn't understand it until I became a child of God. Then I began to study the Word of God. Then I was like, okay, that explains so much. Now I understand. And, you know, the gospel, man, the truth of the word of God, you know. But this case that went all the way to the Supreme Court because these groups, you know, they want that cross. You know, it's offensive. You know, it's discriminatory. Wanted it removed. Well, I'm happy to report today that the Supreme Court just gave a judgment on that, and the judgment was the cross stays. Hallelujah. So thank God that we are seeing some victories, even though they may be small ones. We are seeing some victories. So thank God for that. Amen. These concepts, these belief systems, you know, and when I think of how many that have, you know, just the minister I just made a reference to with his Easter congregation, you know, sharing his skepticism and his doubts. And there have been so many that have denied the fundamental basics of the truth of the gospel and have, you know, their mind has been influenced by just what Paul warned Timothy about, seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. All right, number six, in the last days, as we begin to wrap this up, in the last days, people will believe doctrines of demons that will result in a new kind of spirituality. I'm going to talk about that new kind of spirituality, but not today, because I really want to spend a little time on that. But I'll give you some insight into it. If you go back into the Old Testament, book of Genesis, and when they built the Tower of Babel, what was called the Tower of Babel, and it was a unified culture. Think of this now. It was a unified culture, but it was unified without God. It was a rejection of God. And biblical resources, biblical encyclopedias tell us that the reason why they were building it so tall is because they wanted to tap into the occultic realm. So they were spiritual people, but they were not people that knew God. And they were a progressive society. Now think of this. It was a progressive society, but it was progressing without God. But it was progressing in a new kind of spirituality. And isn't that amazing? Because in the book of Revelation, it says that God is going to judge what is spiritually called Babylon at the end of time. It's going to come down. Just like God destroyed it in the book of Genesis, because that's when there was a confusion of languages, right? And the people couldn't communicate. God knows what he's doing, doesn't he? He knows how to deal with puny mankind. Hallelujah. He came down and confused them. Could you imagine somebody trying to talk English to somebody that talks French or Vietnamese, or, you know, all the different dialects that we have today? You know, they couldn't communicate anymore, so their plan was defeated because God defeated it, and he's going to defeat it in the end as well. So thank God for that. All right, in conclusion here, the last things, I want to just kind of address this real quick, and we're going to pray. We're going to believe God, because I think all of us, man, I want to always examine, where am I in my relationship with the Lord? Where am I in my walk with God? Is there anything drawing me away, anything influencing me, anything that is denying the truth of God's word, any philosophy? And let me tell you, I'll probably address this too. There's so many philosophies that are being advocated today, and the music industry in particular is duping people. But it makes so much sense. Because Satan has to go after the young generation. He's got to get them. So it makes sense. He's going to produce what appeals to them so that he can, because make no doubt about it, my friends, they are communicating belief systems. That's why I believe it's very important the kind of music that we listen to. And I was a headbanger from way back when. But I don't listen to that stuff anymore. I have fun with it, and I might make references to it, but I don't listen to it anymore. You know, because now I want music that's that I love worship music. When I drive around in my truck, man, I want to be in the presence of God in my Tundra. Hallelujah! I want to worship God. That's why I like to listen to worship music, and just you know feel the presence of God. Things that are going to build my faith, build my spirit. And that's what we're exhorted to do. He said that we should speak to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord. Hallelujah. So music is a very, very important thing. I'm gonna address that in one of these lessons because it's very important that we understand that Satan was the first music director. Did y'all know that? He was the first worship leader. Yeah, and I'm going to show you that in the Word of God. And interesting that he would, use music as such. And let's make no doubt about this: music is a powerful, powerful thing. And and the devil is using it to form belief systems and ideas and concepts. So very important that we understand how that's working. All right. So what is doctrines of demons? Here's a very simple definition. It is a doctrine created by demons that will always deny the deity of Jesus Christ. A doctrine that denies the cross as the only means of salvation is a doctrine of demons. All right, so if you listen to anyone, whether it's a musician, talk show host, movie star, and you hear them say, there are many paths to God, you know that's a lie. You know that's a doctrine of a demon, because that's what it is. It's to deny the deity of Jesus Christ. In other words, to deny that he is God. All right, so this is what John says, 1 John 4. He says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit speaking through a self-proclaimed prophet. Instead, test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets and teachers, many," he says, "have gone into the world. By this you know and recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges and confesses the fact," we're talking factual truth here, "that Jesus Christ has actually come in the flesh as a man is from God." God is its source. In other words, that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. That he is God incarnate, God in the flesh. That's what he's saying. So those that acknowledge that, well, you know they're speaking from God. They're speaking truth. God is its source. Then in verse 3, "Every spirit that does not confess Jesus, acknowledging that he has come in the flesh, but would deny the Son's true nature," in other words, denying his deity, "is not of God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and is now already in the world. Little children, believers, dear ones, you are of God and you belong to him and have already overcome them, the agents of the Antichrist." See, he's got agents at work. We need to know who those agents are. I'm going to show you who they are in the coming weeks. "Because he who is in you is greater than he," Satan, "who is in the world of sinful mankind. They who teach twisted doctrine are of the world and belong to it. Therefore, they speak from the viewpoint of the world with its immoral freedom." Isn't that interesting? Immoral freedom. "And baseless theories, demanding compliance with their opinions, ridiculing the values of the upright." Isn't that so right on of what we see happening in culture today? Because if you stand for righteousness, if you don't agree with same-sex marriage, then you're going to be labeled a bigot, a person of hatred, and nothing could be further from the truth. Amen? Nothing could be further from the truth. You know, now I know there are some that give Christianity a bad name, and they totally take the wrong approach, and we should love everybody and reach out to everybody. But I'm sorry, the Word of God is very clear that God ordained the institution of marriage. And the family structure that a man finds a woman, they fall in love, they get married, they produce offspring. That's the way it's worked for centuries, for millenniums. And now all of a sudden, people have a better idea? It's the most foolish thing I've ever heard of all my life. I know I'm getting controversial here now today, but I don't shy away from controversy either. So you know, I'm going to stick with the Word of God. If I have to be ridiculed for it, then so be it. Because the Word of God says, and all those who live godly, all those who live righteously in Christ Jesus are going to suffer persecution. So if I have to suffer persecution, well, then that's just the way it is. Amen. But somebody's got to speak the truth. Somebody's got to say what God says. Amen. And not be afraid to. All right, so I like verse 6 because he says, we who teach God's word, we are from God and we are energized by the Holy Spirit. I feel his energy right now. I feel his anointing right now. And whoever knows God through personal experience listens to us and has a deeper understanding of him. Whoever is not of God does not listen to us. By this we know, without any doubt, the spirit of truth motivated by God and the spirit of error motivated by Satan. My friends, take this stuff home with you today. Pray over it. Let God speak to you through it. Get the Word of God in you. Here's the last and concluding thing, and I'll challenge you with this. In these last days of the great rebellion, to finish strong and remain faithful, remain faithful to Christ, we must continue to go deeper into Jesus. I got to go deeper into Christ, deeper into the Christ life, deeper and deeper into the things of God. I can't stay status quo. So Colossians 2:7 says, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught and abounding with thanksgiving. I want to be rooted and built up in Christ. My friend, the real question today is, do you know God? Not do you know about him, do you know him? Not have you heard about him, do you know him? Because you must know him. We must know God. And you can only know him through the person of Jesus Christ.